Well, once again, folks, how you doing? This is the Brain Pimp coming to you on a lovely, lovely, lovely Sabbath. I tell you, folks, the feedback from this has been pretty good. Yeah, I know it's pretty limited, but hey, I'm going to go with it. You know, hey, everybody's got to get in where they fit in. And where I fit in is wherever I am, just like you. How y'all doing? So, we're getting a little feedback out here and there, but none of y'all really spend any money. I got a couple of questions about this and that. What is it that I'm selling? Well, first and foremost, the 20 questions for $20. Hey, whatever you're doing, whatever you're selling, people don't know about it. How did you know how to sell it to new people? Spend that $20. We'll sit on the phone beforehand. We'll go ahead and go through whatever you do, and I'll ask you 20 questions so you can quickly go ahead and explain to somebody where it is, what you do, and then we'll go ahead, chop that up, boom, and put that in your body of resume. When people want to go ahead and find out something, there you go. Hey, help me become media by becoming media worthy. Nobody gets wherever they are on their own, no matter how high or how low. There's always help, whether we want to admit or not. And that's the subject of today. Today we got a bunch of commercials. We got commercials, but no sponsorship. How does it get like that? I tell you how. It's called copyright. That's right. Commercials that are before 1962 are easy to snatch up, just like radio shows. And so I went ahead and put together a bunch of ads from yonder days to go ahead and see about learning how to improve my editing and to give you an idea of what it would sound like if this was a legitimate 1 hour full-fledged radio show. You know, because I'm still going to use this old source material because that's the best stuff to use for this concept, and that way it keeps you from paying too much. And you know, hey, you literally can go and find out what I'm going to play if you just say, if you, matter of fact, that's the other part of it too. You go ahead, $20. We'll go ahead and feature a whole episode just on who you want to hear. And if you don't necessarily know who, well, hey, we can go ahead and talk subject matter. When I was looking at this particular Barry Craig, when I was looking at breaking it down, I was like, you know what? I could break this all the way down and stretch it out over an hour plus this and that, but I don't necessarily know if it would hold a thread. I need something more like a Lux, a full hour-long adaptation of something like the Maltese Falcon to work with that. But if some of you out there, you want to go ahead and start to feel your economic stress, hey, we're all working for something. I'll gladly go ahead and customize a show just for you at this point. But on a normal basis, it's conversation, folks. It's what do I know, what do you know, how do we know? How do we get to where we want to get to? Because we're not there yet, or we wouldn't be wasting our time trying to come up, because we'd already be up as high as we can get, right? Right. And so today, it's about partnerships. We're going to give you a little sampler from The Adventures of Maisie to start you all off, because Maisie's more miss than hit, but she's got some nice bits, and so we're going to go ahead and give you the nice slice out of this Dr. Quackenbush's Universal Elixir, where she forms a partnership. And later on, the elevator operator of Barry Craig, Jake, is the vacation partner for Barry as he's trying to get out of New York for a little while, and old man Jake's farm has been talking about, I might go up here and do some fishing and whatnot. And so Barry's trying to get away from being a hardcore gumshoe and hang out with old Gramps. And, well, yeah, you know how that's going to go. And all throughout, of course, we got Mr. Ripley, whether you believe it or not. And yes, sirree, Bob, we got commercials, baby. We have commercials. But we still need your sponsorship. Whoever you are out there, you know who you are. Hey, you know what I'm doing. You know how I'm doing it. It's time to get in because you, just like Maisie, know where you fit in.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about...
Ouch. Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie pictures. In just a moment, you will hear Maisie in radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer.
story of the 1940 cars in a nutshell.
Yes, that's Buick.
See your nearest Buick dealer for complete details.
That's right, folks. It's the Brain Pimp telling you right here, right now. Get your 1940 Buick now. Trust me, they will not be around forever.
The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Oka pudding's just the real.
Here's Ann Southern as Maisie.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the man said. Maisie Revere of Brooklyn. They say all roads lead to Brooklyn, and I believe it because I've personally walked over all of them. I'm in show business, and it seems I'm either walking to a job that's ready to fold or walking back from one that just has. In this case, I'd just been with a stock company playing in a play called The Cherry Orchard. I hope the audience has understood it. I didn't. And when they cut the orchard down in the last act, I wanted to go out and help chop. Well, this morning I was walking along the road in the rolling hill country, and the scenery and the clouds are so beautiful, I could hardly feel the shellac in my feet were taken. Then I heard a car pull up behind me and stop.
Good morning, young lady.
Oh,
don't be scared and dive into those bushes.
Oh, hello.
Pardon my presumptuousness, but may I offer you a ride in this ancient but honorable old chariot?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I always stop and ask every beautiful young girl if she wouldn't care to ride to the next town with the country's most notorious rake, woman chaser, and libertine. 50 years ago.
Well, I must admit that's a very frank approach.
Oh, yes. I've always found that honesty was the best policy. Occasionally. But if you don't feel safe sitting up here with such an unsanctified character, you can ride in the trailer behind.
Oh, no, I'm not that worried. But let me read the sign on the trailer. Old Doc Quackenbush, sole inventor, manufacturer, and distributor of Quackenbush's Universal Elixir.
Oh,
then you're a doctor.
In some states, yes. Allow me to introduce myself. I am L. Ron Quackenbush, M.D.
Well, I suppose the M.D. stands for miracle doctor.
No, it stands for medical delinquent.
Well, my name is Maisie Revere. I'm glad to know you, Doc.
Well, the pleasure's mine, Maisie. Well, here we go.
Well, so you're the inventor of Quackenbush's Universal Elixir. What do you mean by universal?
Well, I call it that because everything in the universe is in it. It also happens to be good for almost anything you can think of. Cures everything from alcoholism to sobriety. Now, that reminds me, it's time to take my regular morning antitoxin now. You take the wheel for a moment, my dear, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, I got it right here next to my heart. Yeah.
What are you curing right now, alcoholism or sobriety?
Yeah. Ooh, that's wonderful stuff. One of my best batches yet. Well, Maisie, I've forgotten just what it is I'm trying to cure myself of, but I think it's old age. Yeah. Well, that took 20 years off my age.
Well, let me know when you get back to 25, and I'll go back and ride in the trailer.
That's a good point.
How do you sell the stuff, anyway?
Well, please, do not refer to the elixir as stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Swill, yes, but stuff, no. Well, I tell you, I just park my trailer in a likely spot. I open up the collapsible stage, do a few magic tricks to collect a crowd, and then I give them the pitch.
Well, gee, it doesn't sound very surefire, Doc. How you doing?
Well, to be frank, only fair, yeah. I gotta admit that I'm always relieved when I go over a county line.
You know what you need, Doc?
Another shot of the elixir?
No, you need a shill. Now, here's the way I see it. You do the tricks and start the pitch. Right in the middle of it, I bust in. I'm in agony. I'm suffering from acute coreopsis of the lobelia.
Yeah, just a moment, my pretty wench. There might be a few flower lovers in the crowd who'd recognize that disease.
Well, all right, it can be something else. But anyway, that'll attract a little attention, especially if I wear a bright red sweater.
Now we're making progress.
I'm ready to kick the bucket any minute. I'm in terrible shape.
My dear young lady, your shape will never be terrible.
Oh, don't interrupt. But thanks just the same.
Yeah, famous for my veracity.
I come up on the stage. I tell you that I've tried everything. I've been given up by the Mayo brothers, the Menninger brothers, and the Ringling brothers. I'm at death's door.
And I pull you through.
Well, don't you think we can use a little fresher material than that?
Yeah, and I got carried away.
Yeah. I come to you as a last resort. I'm desperate. You get out the bottle of Quackenbush's elixir of panther oil and hand it to me.
Oh, this is great, Maisie.
I drink it. Slowly a sensational change comes over me. I get better right in front of their eyes. I'm cured. I feel wonderful. I buy 10 bottles and jump off the stage and exit through the crowd.
Followed by the entire high school basketball team.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of it?
Oh, it sounds absolutely perfect. But are you a good enough actress to handle the part?
Doc, I've been everything from Little Eva to the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'll admit they weren't Broadway productions. They've been Fifth Road companies and Major Bowes units, but I've had plenty of experience.
Well, Maisie, I'll make you a full partner.
Shake, partner.
And I think we ought to have a quick snort of elixir to seal the bargain, eh? Here, you might as well know now what it tastes like.
Okay.
You like it?
Dr. Quackenbush, this is an intestinal hot foot. You ought to serve a blowtorch for a chaser.
And that, of course, was our introduction to Maisie Revere on The Adventures of Maisie. If you want the full story, check her out on Quackenbush's Universal Elixir. I'm here to tell you, I clipped the best part of that whole thing. Like so many of the comedies, Maisie was hit and miss. There was, 30 to 50% that was spot on, and then the rest of it, not so much. So I just want to go ahead and give you the best taste of that there. Because Maisie is very much one of my favorites. More so than anything else, the music in the interlude, which later on we'll be playing that for you. All right, well, next up, we're going to go ahead and see if Mr. Ripley can make you believe it or not. And then we're going to continue on with the 5-minute mystery tradition. We've learned how to clip a little bit better. And put a little interesting commercialization in there with me and all this wonderful stuff from back in the day. Hope you enjoy it.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the truth.
This is Ripley's.
Believe it or not.
There was a shoe worn by the ancient Egyptians with the outline of an enemy on its sole, so that the wearer could stamp on his enemy with each step he took. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the story of a very remarkable man. Billy Marshall, a tinker of Kirkcudbright, Scotland, was truly a most remarkable man. In his earlier years, he enlisted in the Army and the Navy 10 times. Each time he enlisted, he deserted without ever being caught. He outlived 17 wives, and he became the father of 4 children after he was 100 years of age. He finally died in the year 1792 at the age of 120 years, believe it or not.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof.
This is Ripley's.
Believe it or not.
Judge Abraham Fuller of Newton, Massachusetts, was so fanatically opposed to debts that when a physician was called to write out his death certificate, the doctor found his fee in the dead man's clenched fist. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about an unusual railway. Cable cars in San Francisco have added charm and transportation for many years. Equally unusual is the Cliff Railway near Lynmouth, England. It has 900 feet of rails bolted to the solid rock of a cliff, and its 2 cars are operated with water. Water flows into the tank of the car at the top, and as it starts down, it pulls up the other car, which has been lightened by draining its water tank. Believe it or not.
Thank you. after showtime in a downstairs restaurant in Lower New York. Pat Logan, private detective, and his girl Friday, Diana Bellows, are out for an evening's entertainment.
Two more, Tony.
Sure, Mr. Logan. You have it right away.
Oh, Pat, isn't it wonderful? A whole evening to ourselves. No murders, no robberies. Nothing but fun.
Well, I promised you this evening out, didn't I? As soon as the Morrison case was closed.
I know, Pat. I think maybe that's why I like you so.
Like me?
Well, maybe a little more.
Mr. Logan, Mr. Logan.
Yes, Tony, what's the matter? No more ready passed over?
No, Mr. Logan, it's worse than that. Something terrible.
Well, what is it? What's happened?
In the back room, Joe Mattelli, the owner of this place. He's just been shot.
All right, Tony. And you, Mr. Kosky. I'd like to talk to both of you in here. Diane, the coroner will be here any minute. He might need your help.
All right, Pat, I'll go wait for him.
Now then, let's get this story straight. Mr. Kosky, Tony tells me you discovered the body.
That's right. I just left Joe not more than 3 or 4 minutes before. He'd been in a depressed mood for days over some money he owed, but the suicide really gives me a turn.
How soon would you say you got to the body after the shot was fired, I mean?
Oh, just a matter of seconds. I was in the next room when I heard the shot. I ran in just as Joe was slumping to the floor.
And the gun, this gun right here, was in his hand.
That's right, Mr. Logan. It dropped right then when he fell.
Uh-huh. And you, Tony?
Yeah, I heard the shots, too, just as I was coming up from the wine cellar. When I come in, Kosky was standing over Joe.
Mm-hmm. I noticed this gun is a police special, the regulation kind for the police department. Anyone know how come it came to be in Joe's possession?
Yeah, he had it for some time, Mr. Logan. He had a brother-in-law in the force and borrowed it for protection.
And now he uses it to commit suicide with. Rather ironic, I should say.
Yeah, it is all right.
Pat.
Yes, Diane.
The coroner just moved the bullet. He thought you'd probably want to look at it. Here it is.
Yes. Fine. Hmm. 45 caliber. Fired at close range.
If you want anything more, I'll stick
around.
Hey,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Diane, you're sure this is the bullet? The suicide bullet itself?
Well, of course, Pat. Why not?
Just that this little bullet changes the whole picture.
What do you mean?
Just this, Mr. Kosky. Joe Mattelli didn't commit suicide any more than I did. He was murdered.
I thought there was something funny here.
Murdered?
Yes, Mr. Kosky, murdered. And I think you're in for another surprise right on top of that one. Because you're under arrest, Kosky, for that same murder.
So the supposed suicide was murder after all, and Mike Kosky is under arrest. Do you know the clue? In a moment, we'll hear, but first...
Beans times two beans is four beans.
Nescafe uses lots more beans.
10 beans times 4 beans and add 3 more beans.
Make 43 rich coffee beans. Yes, you get 43 beans in every cup of Nescafe real coffee beans. That's all there is in Nescafe. 43 beans in every cup. Make Nescafe the all coffee instant coffee. With a let's have another cup.
Extra bean means extra flavor. Today's Nescafe goes all the way for flavor with 43 choice beans in every cup.
Come on now, come on now, come on now. Do you know? Do you know? Come on now. It's a police revolver. They have found a bullet. Man says right there. The other man says right there. He's seen him stand. Come on now. Come on now. Now, this is where if we had a longer one, we'd split it right down the middle and we'd go, hey, this is it. But we don't. This is where we could be doing your 20 questions. Or we could just be doing a quick 30-second ad. Either way, who done it? And how does he know?
Mystery.
What's the matter with you, Logan? Everything checks, doesn't it?
Yes, Korsky, everything checks. You testified when you entered the room a moment before Mutelli fell to the floor. This suicide gun was still in his hands.
So what?
That gun was not the death weapon, Korsky. And this bullet proves it. You might be interested to know all regulation police guns, like the one Mutelli was supposed to have killed himself with, are .38 calibers. And this bullet, the death bullet, is a .45. It just wouldn't fit.
Well, for those of you out there who want a little bit more meat in your mysteries, well, that's okay. We're bringing the most mellow, chilled out of them all, Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Barry was pretty much the last of the Red Hot Lovin' MCs. He did his thing in the 50s, and he probably was the last of the really good ones as far as who came along then. Good mystery. Solid episode to pick for you. He's very easy here. Jake isn't his sidekick, but he's the closest thing he's got to a sidekick, so it's kind of interesting. One of the thinkers, not a lot of action in this one, but it's a good thinker. Because if you walk through it with Barry, playback, you'll kind of sort of see. It's sort of like it's really the reason why I picked it. It's a Sherlock Holmesian, well, elementary, my dear Watson, as the drag races are going on outside. It's piece by piece, step here, step there. Barry Craig just tells you how he knows what he knows. And his reasoning is very sound. If you're going to do mysteries, you need to have a mystery that the crowd can get into. And if you think this one along, you'll figure it out as he figures it out. If not, listen back, you get it then. But everything's not a mystery. Some things are pretty obvious. You know, that at some point, sooner or later, we all have to admit that whether we like it or not, enough ants will eat any elephant. In my travels in my misspent youth, I ended up in a little small town called Rich Hill, Missouri, home of what's known as Old Brethren Mennonite. They're the people that think the Amish are too commercial. And man I talked to who was a tea, who had been a tea importer, which is a very interesting business in its own concept. He said that when it came to things like TV and the radio, he looked at it as like bringing termites into a wooden house. That once you bring the termite into your wooden house, it's only a matter of time before the termite eats you out of house and home. And you can't be mad at the termite, because just because you bring it in and you call it friend, you don't change its nature. Don't be mad at the termites in your lives, that they simply do what they do. And this hustle called next breath, please. There's people out there who are just little bitty termites and ants, and they're destroying your wooden elephant houses daily. Somewhere along the lines, you should realize there's no mystery. The third key to failing: refuse to admit that you know what you know. If you know enough ants can eat any elephant, no matter how big a bull elephant you think you are, you might want to go ahead and put some pesticide out there. Now, Barry Craig, he went on up there to Vermont to see what his homeboy Jake had been talking about, and apparently, well, crime don't exist just in the big city. It's out there in rural New England. So I wonder, in this Hay is for Homicide episode, just how is Barry gonna figure this one out?
Barry Craig speaking. Even confidential investigators need a vacation. Sometimes they've been known to take one. The place I've chosen was Vermont. The main reason for that was Jake. He was on vacation, too. He decided to come home and see if he'd been smart in abandoning Vermont to run an elevator on Madison Avenue. Say, Jake.
Yeah?
What's the verdict?
Madison Avenue.
Why? Is Madison Avenue dark and quiet like this?
Nope.
Is Madison Avenue surrounded by tall trees, cooled by gentle breezes, filled with the fragrance of unspoiled nature?
Nope.
Now, what's Madison Avenue got that this place hasn't?
Girls.
Well, you may be right, but... Or you may be wrong. That came from directly up the road.
Nice night for a hayride.
Is it?
Yep. Could have been a giggle.
Oh, a rather loud giggle.
Girls got very loud giggles sometimes, especially on a hayride.
Oh, Jake, stop pulling my leg. Hey, wait a minute. What's that in the road up ahead of us?
Hay wagon.
I refuse to believe it, but it is filled with hay.
Usually are.
There's a horse out in front of it, but where's the driver? Say, Jake, would he have gone off and left the wagon out in the middle of the road?
It ain't too likely.
Oh. I'm coming up on that wagon. That girl, if it was a girl, didn't giggle. She screamed. I'd better take a look around in the hay.
What for?
Anything larger than a needle. Yeah, there's plenty of hay up here.
Anything else?
No,
Mr. Craig?
I was rushing things. There is something else up here.
What?
A man. A very pale man.
What's he doing up there?
Nothing. Just being dead. He lay very still. His eyes stared up at the summer sky overhead, but saw neither the stars nor the moon. The moon that shone on him and on the metal handle of the knife that was buried in his heart. He was wearing overalls and a work shirt. His short hair outlined clearly the skull beneath. There was nothing I nor anyone could do for him.
Murdered?
Yes.
Anything on him?
No identification at all, Jake. We need a phone.
Past farmhouse, half mile back.
Now, let's go.
Think it's all right leaving him there?
He won't mind. The Vermont night was as quiet and peaceful as it had been before I heard the scream and a man died of a knife wound lying on a mound of hay. Nature doesn't concern herself too much about us and our doings, which is very bright of nature.
Got to turn off the road to get to that farmhouse.
Yeah. Oh, somebody ought to oil that gate.
Yeah. Whole house is pretty run down.
Jake, get down.
It ain't necessary.
Those shots.
Over our heads.
Her aim might improve.
Her aim?
Well, you can see her. Farmhouse window. This time it's not the farmer with the shotgun. It's the farmer's daughter.
Spoil a lot of stories that way. She's left the window.
Yeah. She knows she didn't hit either of us. Those shots were either a warning or possibly a yell for help.
How are you going to decide?
Well, if it was a warning, I don't think she'd have left the window. So it must be a call for help. Come on.
That was real logical, Mr. Craig.
Thanks.
Let's hope it turns out to be true.
There were no more shots, which did or didn't prove I'd been right. Because the shooting would be better once we were inside the house.
First time I ever heard of targets knocking on the door.
The lady may have had all the target shooting she wants.
Who's there?
Barry Craig and Jake. Hello?
Barry Craig?
Yeah.
And Jake?
Me.
Neither of you look very terrifying.
Is that bad?
No, it's nice. Please come in.
Thanks.
Please, make yourselves comfortable.
Nice room.
Rustic, perhaps, but I like it.
Do you like being a farmer? Or maybe I should say...
Farmer's daughter? Very much.
Almost as much as you like firing guns at strangers?
Oh, but I didn't know whether you were strangers or...
Or what?
Or dead men.
Maybe she was what she claimed to be, a farmer's daughter. But if she was, somebody's been telling me lies about farms. Her hairdo was sleek, as though it had been just applied. Her fingernails had had a lot of professional attention. Her dress was so simple, it practically yelled Paris at you. And she didn't need any of these beauty aids. She would have been beautiful without them, but not nearly so expensive. You did say dead men.
Yes.
You often run across dead men walking around?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You think I'm crazy, don't you?
I don't think you're crazy at all. You've just got a peculiar vision.
I'm not sure I ought to be grateful for that.
Oh, forget I said it.
My name is Millie George.
How do you do?
This is, or was, my father's farm. He was very happy here until the dead men started walking.
And then?
He became one of them himself.
Your father's dead?
Over a year now.
You live here alone?
Well, I don't really live here at all. I have an apartment and a job in town. But I come here often. As often as I dare.
Fingers idly traced a pattern in the inch-deep dust on the table next to my chair. Inch-deep dust. Millie George was very lovely. She told her ghost story neatly, but she was also a complete liar. I think maybe we'd better skip the walking dead for a minute. There's something more urgent that's got to be done. Where's your phone?
I'm afraid there isn't one. Father never cared for what he called mechanical murderers.
Murderers?
He meant things that killed time, interrupted work.
I see.
Destroyed quiet.
I see. That's too bad.
Why do you need a phone?
Jake and I ran across a hay wagon some distance down the road.
Oh?
There was a man in it. He wasn't walking around like the people you've been telling us about. He was lying down. But he was dead anyway. If I'd been looking for a reaction to my words, I would have been disappointed. Millie George took the news with not a flicker of anything except polite interest. But I wasn't disappointed. I'd expected that reaction. The police like to be told about stray corpses.
I suppose so. I think the gardeners have a phone.
Where would I find them?
Well, their house is about a quarter of a mile further down the road.
Oh, good. Jake.
Ready?
By the way, this man, what did he die of?
A knife in his heart.
Oh. Suicide?
The angle of the knife's entrance wouldn't be right for suicide.
Oh, then it was...
Murder.
How dreadful.
Yes, terribly dreadful. So long. So far as Millie George was concerned, murder belonged in pretty much the same category as a run in a pair of new nylons. You said how dreadful and bought another pair. You couldn't do exactly the same thing with a damaged life, though.
Mr. Craig.
Yeah?
Millie George said the gardener's house, the one with the phone, was down the road that way.
That's what she said, Jake.
Then why are we going this way?
I want to take another look at that hay wagon.
Once wasn't enough?
I think maybe there's been a change.
Less hay?
Less corpse. It was a nice road to be taking a stroll on in the cool evening. It would have been an even nicer road if there hadn't been a hay wagon in the middle of it.
Still there.
Yeah. The horse must be getting lonely.
Being a farmer, you get a wrong angle on a horse. You don't think being a horse's chum is romantic.
I'll never say hello to a horse again. Excuse me.
You're getting pretty spry at climbing hay wagons, Mr. Craig.
Just practice, that's all.
Mr. Craig.
Hmm?
Counting the hay up there?
No, just confirming a guess.
Less corpse.
No corpse. I'd thought back at Millie George's house that the shots might have been a warning or maybe a call for help. I knew now they'd been neither. What they actually had been were distractions.
Mr. Craig, maybe he wasn't really dead.
Jake, they don't get any deader.
It ain't likely you'd be fooled. Somebody moved him out of there.
Yeah.
Well, what for? Can't be many folks enjoy dragging corpses around.
Whoever dragged this one maybe didn't enjoy it at all.
Well, what was he trying to do? Save undertaker's expenses?
Maybe he was trying to save his neck. I got down out of the hay wagon and said goodbye to it. We wouldn't be coming back that way.
Mr. Craig.
What is it, Jake?
Funny thing about city people, they like to walk.
Oh?
They do it deliberate, even when they don't have to.
Well?
Country people hate to walk.
But, Jake, we've got to get back to that farmhouse.
With the girl in it?
Yeah, Millie George.
We're hoping that this time maybe she won't shoot over our heads.
We're hoping that this time she won't shoot at us at all.
And for this, we're wearing our feet down clear at the ankle?
Oh, it's not as bad as that.
It's worse. I got short ankles.
Oh.
Mr. Craig, I can tell you right now, she don't have a phone.
I know, but by this time, she may have something else.
Do I want to know what it might be?
Not in your condition, you don't.
Thanks.
And you know what? We like them.
Hi, Charlie. What you watching?
Ballet.
Oh, how is it?
Too soon to tell. So far, it's been nothing but dancing. But I'll watch it anyway to show Starkist my good taste.
But, Charlie, Starkist don't want tunas with good taste. Starkist wants tunas that taste good.
Hey, that's for me.
Sorry, Charlie. Only good-tasting tuna get to be Starkist. Good-tasting 100% prime fillet.
This is good-tasting tuna.
Get Starkist tuna.
Note the name. Starkist.
We didn't have much farther to go, which was just as well. Jake had started groaning at every step. Next to Jake's snores, Jake's groans are the surest recipe for punctured eardrums.
Oh,
you can stop groaning, Jake. We're at the house.
Oh, dear, if I got strength enough to lift my head. I am at the house.
Think you can make it inside?
Oh, dear. I can try.
Fine. Jake.
I
It doesn't look as if anyone's going to invite us in.
This don't make me feel bad.
We'll go in without an invitation.
Now I don't know how I feel.
Find out later. Well, somebody left the lights on.
Wasn't a Vermont man. Quiet.
Yeah, let's try the parlor.
Anything for an excuse to keep a walk-in.
I suppose this is the parlor.
Nobody in here. It's the parlor.
I don't like this much. The only thing left for us to do now is sit down.
Excuse me while I cheer.
Well, what are you waiting for? Go ahead, Grandpa. Cheer.
Company.
So I notice. Kind of thing you're liable to run into in old houses. They come out of the woodwork, I think.
Don't try to insult me, mister.
Why not?
Anything you're liable to say is liable to be true.
Don't be foolish. I don't use that kind of language.
You also ain't using the kind of language I would like to hear.
What language would that be?
The one telling me where the baby is buried?
A boy or a girl, baby?
Jake.
Oh, that grandpa's a joker. Grandpa could easy get his head knocked off.
Put the gun down, son, and Grandpa will be glad to tangle with you.
I ain't putting no guns down. And when I say baby, you know what I mean.
You mean something worth money?
Oh, you are a bright one. Okay, so where is it?
Even if I knew where it was, I wouldn't tell you.
Why not?
You've got the wrong RH factor.
Wrong? Supposing I could get a hold of the right one.
It wouldn't buy you the time of the day from me.
Language like that's gotten guys killed before this, mister.
So have guns like that.
This is kind of fancy, but it ain't very productive.
What makes you think I know anything about the baby?
You're in this dump, ain't you?
I'm in it.
So what are you doing here? Looking for a beer?
It so happens I'm looking for a corpse.
Well, you're going to find one. Your own. Only ain't going to be in no condition to appreciate it.
Funny thing. You didn't show any interest in the corpse I'm looking for. Whose it might be, say?
Mister, corpses is dead. They don't bother me. It's the live operators you got to keep in mind. Like you and Grandpa.
How about the girl?
You just leave her out of this. She's for me.
Oh? And why do you think I was called in?
Wait, mister. You trying to tell me you was called in by...
By the girl, yes.
That don't smell so good.
Neither do you. Let's call it a draw and go home.
You were saying the girl brought you in, huh? Okay. We find out fast. Hey, sugar! Come here, sugar. This joker informs me you brought him in on the deal. That so?
No.
I had a long look at the girl who'd come into the room. It was fun while it lasted. She was worth looking at. She was beautiful, non-rural, undoubtedly expensive, and she was not Millie George.
Well?
Call it mistaken identity.
Oh. Oh, cut it out, Dina. I don't know what you think he said, but it wasn't very funny.
It wasn't?
It wasn't.
Oh.
This girl probably is on your side. She's not the one I was talking about.
You mean there's been another babe around?
Oh, honey, he must mean Joey's wife.
Why don't you forget you ever learned to talk, Dina?
That ain't a friendly attitude.
I ain't feeling friendly. Joey makes it out of the pen, ducks for cover here, and a counter here is where he buried the baby.
Banks wouldn't like you calling their money baby.
Well, I don't like banks.
So it was bank money. Thanks for telling me.
Who told you? Never mind. To resume. Joey gets here, and the first thing anybody knows, he winds up with a knife and a ticker. This is bad.
It ain't good.
Shut up.
You can't say that to a Vermont man.
Why not?
I don't rightly remember.
Well, get in touch with me when you do.
What, Sal?
Now, will you lay off? You guys trying to confuse me or something? Joey winds up with a knife and a ticker and no dough.
Look, ain't you forgetting Joey's wife?
Hey, yeah. If she was around here, maybe she met him even before we got here, grabbed the dough off of him, and then handed him a knife, huh?
Fine wife.
Nah, she never liked him so much. After she found out he was a bank operator.
She was prejudiced against banks?
She was prejudiced in favor of banks.
A narrow-minded woman.
So, I'm thinking maybe she's the one we got to get our hands on. And when did you see her?
A little while ago.
Where?
Here.
Well, she ain't in the house. We went all through it. If she knifed Joey and scrambled a dough, we better get after her.
Brady's a scream, ain't he?
Don't disturb my mental processes, huh? There wasn't no car around before, which means she must have headed for the village and railroad station. Okay, now we know where we're going.
Oh, I think we do.
That reminds me. What about you guys?
Well, we'll hang around and play some pinochle. I've been wanting a good pinochle game.
Dina, what do you think?
I think you're a big dope.
Oh, what kind of remark is that?
Oh, you believe too easy. Joey's wife would maybe stick up Joey, but she wouldn't take the bank's money.
Yeah, could be right. Yeah, but maybe...
These characters, you ought to...
Don't pay any attention to her, Brady. She's a bitter woman.
You shut up.
You know what I say? I say get rid of them, and then we'll have lots of time to find the money.
You could be right.
She could also be wrong.
All right, so she's wrong. What do I lose if she's wrong?
Mr. Craig's life and mine?
In my line of business, I can't afford to be sentimental. If you die for nothing, I shall be sorry. But not very sorry and not for very long. Okay, here.
Please, Brady.
Huh?
Not while a lady's in the room.
Oh. Excuse me, Dina.
Sometimes I think you ain't got no manners.
I said excuse me. nice, refined girl. You know, never even packs a rod. Well...
Brady.
Yeah?
You're an idiot.
Well, that could be.
You think Dina's really going to wait for you? In that car outside?
Well, sure. Me and her is personally very friendly.
That was before the bank money came up.
Why shouldn't she wait for me?
And share your execution?
Who's getting executed? I knock you guys off. We find a dough. We get out of here. Nobody knows who's even around.
Dina gets out of here, you mean? You don't. The cops will pick you up in a few hours.
Hey, you keep saying she won't wait for me.
That's what I keep saying, because it's the truth. Would you like to test her before sticking your neck away out?
What kind of test?
Fire two shots into the floor.
What for? I got nothing against the floor.
Oh, forgive me. You haven't got brains enough to be an idiot. Fire these shots, and it'll sound to Dina as though you shot Jake and me. Then if she waits for you, fine. You can go ahead with your original plan. But if she doesn't wait, if she scrams as soon as she hears those shots...
Hey, it's an idea. You know, it's even a good idea. Okay, boys, just don't get alarmed. Yeah, you shouldn't have insulted Dina. She's okay. So just for insulting her, I'd kill you anyway.
Shut up. Listening, Brady?
Hey, Dina! Hey, Dina!
A man betrayed.
Craig. Craig, you was right. I feel terrible.
You should.
But I don't understand Dina crossing me like that. What'd she get out of it?
How much money was in the bank job?
Hey, around 30 grand.
She gets 30 grand out of it.
Huh? But she...
Were you and she together all evening?
Well, no, but...
You came down to this house? Why?
Well, we figured this is where Joey's gonna head once we hear he's departed from the pen. But Joey don't show. Then you tell me Joey is now a corpse.
Pretty plain what happened. One way or another, Joey latched onto a pair of overalls and a work shirt, plus one wagon filled with hay. He dug up the money from wherever he'd hidden it and headed for this house. But before he got here...
He runs into trouble.
He ran into Dina.
Now it begins to clear up. And Dina takes him for the dough, huh?
She takes him.
I could have figured it out for myself.
Yeah, all you needed was Mr. Craig's brains.
Better he should have them. What would I do with them?
You've got a point. And so's your head.
Please, Grandpa. Dina does not wish to share this here dough with me, so she tries to get me to knock you guys off, then get picked up by the cops while she's traveling very fast in my car. Hey, this is revolting.
It is.
You know, you do very good guessing.
No guessing.
No? How'd you know Joey was an escaped con?
I mentioned the fact that he was pale and that his hair had been cut short. That was enough. Farmers don't work indoors in the summer. They couldn't be pale. And why did Joey dress up like a farmer? Because he wasn't one. Escaped convicts are pale, have short hair, and seek a disguise.
Hey, you know something, Craig? You're so smart, I'm beginning to worry.
What about?
What kind of security is us criminals going to have if private eyes like you go around being smart all the time?
The same kind of security you've always had. No security.
Just don't dwell on that there. I got something else to worry about. I got to figure out a way to get hold of Dina before she scrams out of the country with that dough.
But Brady...
Huh?
Dina doesn't have the money. Brady had a little trouble with this. Even Jake began to look worried. As far as I was concerned, I hoped. Because I could turn out to be wrong, and being wrong in a case of this kind was only one short step before being dead.
But you figured it all out yourself.
Logically.
That Dina was the one who knocked off Joey and took the dough.
What you're forgetting, Brady, is that there can be more than one logical explanation for anything.
Huh?
He means just because something's logical don't prove it's true.
Oh.
And then, of course, logic can be twisted as your mind, Brady.
You leave my mind out of this. It's got its own troubles. Please explain.
Well, Joey was a desperate man running from the police. He was also a man owning $30,000. He was finally a man in a hurry.
So?
How would Dina have persuaded a man in those circumstances to let her get close enough to him to stab him?
Well, maybe...
There's no way.
Well, somebody got close enough to him.
Of course. Somebody who was armed with a weapon that was dangerous at a distance. A gun, say.
Oh, so Dina...
No, no. You yourself told us Dina never carried a gun.
Joey's wife.
Wouldn't have needed to take the chance of killing him on the road. She could have waited till she had him here.
You know something? I said you were so bright, I was beginning to get worried. I ain't beginning no more. I'm worried.
So you admit you were the one who stabbed Joey and took the money?
Yeah, sure.
Dina Scram just now because she was afraid you didn't intend to share the money with her, but instead would kill her the same way you'd kill Joey.
Could be.
She realized you'd hidden Joey's body to gain time for doing just that.
It won't do her much good. I know where she goes when she's scared. But before that...
You can't shoot us.
Why?
Well, I don't know, frankly, but give me a little time and I'll think of something.
Too bad, Grandpa. I ain't giving you no time at all.
Oh, for a fellow who's just been shot, I feel fine.
You weren't shot, Jake. Come on in, Miss Millie. I spotted her behind those drapes a long time ago. I was looking for her. The trouble with you, Jake, is that you spent so much time thinking about the farmer, you forgot about the farmer's daughter. It didn't quite end there, though. The police removed the debris, put out a pickup for Dina, and then...
Barry.
Yeah?
I really am a farmer's daughter.
I know.
So?
Yeah?
How about some country cooked ham?
Crackle the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or spots not brown. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies.
I insist that pop's the sound. The best was nipped unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping and the cereal's popping.
Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies.
Well, folks, I hope that you enjoyed this attempt to go ahead and give you a much more commercialized concept. Clearly not fully realized. I'm not doing too much wandering, too much meandering. The whole concept is I gotta sell you something. And what I'm trying to sell you is the idea that old-time radio, with my voice, a little direction, some good editing, could be something that people will spend an hour listening to. Simple as that. The same way that everybody else got out there doing their thing, and eventually they connected with enough people in enough ways that something started. And right here, from right where we are, hey, if you're somebody way out yonder way and you catch this on Spotify, man, it tripped me out. I'm on Spotify already. I'm already on Spotify. Do you understand that? Man, my battle rap music gets nowhere, right? I mean, have you ever heard of the Brain Pimp? No, ain't nobody. Battle rap legend, supposed to be, right? But now I'm on Spotify already. Because there's people out there who type in old time and they type in movies, radio, religion, whatever. They type in old, they type in time, and they first got these video games, Hitman, first hit. Everybody's typing in free. And when they go and they click and they listen, that's it. I'm not selling anything because nobody's buying yet, but it counts. I'm on Spotify, folks. If you can hear this on Spotify, I'm popping up already. Why? Because the system has changed. I don't have any brilliant anything. I don't have a single sale as of this moment. But it's the simple reality of algorithms and computer programming, folks. There's a system to everything. Years ago, a bounty hunter told me something very, very insightful. He said, human beings are animals. And all animals have habits. All animals leave trails. Whoever somebody is, they're going to go into the habitat that is most similar to what they're used to based on their habits. And no matter where they go, they are going to leave a trail. And that's the nature of success. That's the nature of failure. You know people who've struggled and gone through this and that, and you wish you could do this and that for them, but once they start to stinking like they're thinking is the problem, you got to cut them loose. Why? That stuff's contagious. They start blinding themselves to the fact that all that glitters can't be gold. And if the lunch is free, you're probably on the menu. See, partnerships, folks, whether for profit, for pleasure, or for pain, people make all kinds of alliances that don't work out. Your boy's on Spotify. I don't know if it was the Lucille Ball. I put Lucille Ball in the first beta tester. I'm on Spotify already. And you can be too, folks. I'm not saying I'm making any money on Spotify yet. I'm not saying I'm making money on anywhere yet. Shout out to 5 Miles. But what I am saying is, there's people out there who are desperate for something other than what they already have. Why not let them know that you're offering it? How are they gonna know? Aren't you sick and tired of having to share this and sign up for that to just help some billionaire make more money? Hey, I'm not a billionaire. Help me make some money. If you did it, we're not gonna get into all that. But remember, folks, partnerships, whether for profit, pleasure, or pain, they're powerful. This is your boy, The Brain Pimp, signing off.